In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Okay, an aside, one of the best parts of Advent 4 is seeing everybody home. So to all of you who have been away at college or somewhere else or are now living somewhere else, we're glad to have you back and welcome home. So, today, in case you were not paying attention to the collect, the canticle that we sang, or the gospel that we read, today is all about Mary. It's Mary's day. In a few days, we'll have Jesus's day, but today we get to talk about Mary. And a little bit of background is that we only get Mary visiting Elizabeth. So I want to back up, because I think this is important. It actually starts in the Gospel of Luke with Gabriel going to see Zechariah, who's Elizabeth's husband, and saying, by the way, your old barren wife, oh yes, is going to bear a child, which was unheard of, because once you were old and barren, you weren't bearing any children. And Zechariah actually questions the angel, and Gabriel says, oh, and for that you shall be mute until this has come to pass. He gets his voice back when they actually take John to the temple to be blessed. So that happens, and then we suddenly see Gabriel appearing to Mary saying, by the way, favored one, you're going to bear the Son of God. And Mary says, okay, but Gabriel gives her this hint. He says, your cousin, Elizabeth, who is thought to be barren, is in her sixth month, so maybe you want to go see her. And so Mary sets off to go find her cousin Elizabeth. And I wonder, we don't get this, we get their first bits of conversation, but I'm going to guess they had more than that to say to each other. I wonder if part of Mary searching out Elizabeth is because Elizabeth would understand. You see, Elizabeth, as a woman who couldn't bear children, was shunned. She was mocked. She was cast out. She was thought of as less than, and we like to think that our society doesn't do that, but we're still learning that lesson. And I wonder if Mary thought, well, maybe Elizabeth will understand. Maybe Elizabeth will understand that my betrothed knows this is not his child, and if that gets out, I too will be mocked and shunned and thought of as less than. And so Mary shows up and greets Elizabeth, and the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps, and Elizabeth praises Mary for her faith, saying, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary responds to Elizabeth in the Magnificat, which we heard twice today. And I thank John for indulging me again, because I insist on the setting that we sing. And some year I'm going to get you all to sing the parts that Dan sings. I just haven't won that thumb wrestling bet yet. But I'm working on it, because it's beautiful. And I feel that it does proclaim the glory of the Lord, which is what Mary was doing. In Mary's words, if you go back and you reread them in Luke, they are words of thanksgiving. It is a song of thanksgiving. It is a song of praise. It is a song of mercy. It is a song of promise. And if you're an old-time Episcopalian, the words are familiar because we used to use them so often in morning and evening prayer. And now we just get them a few times a year. There are so many important themes wrapped up in the beauty of the Magnificat, but today I want to focus on one that I think we don't spend enough time on in our lives, and that is mercy. Mary says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors Abraham and to descendants forever. Mercy. How often do we talk about mercy? How often do we really even remember that God is a merciful God? Do we tell our kids when they leave for school now make sure you have a good and merciful day today. It's not a trait that we tend to think about. It's not as common as love and peace and joy and justice. But mercy. Mercy. Are we merciful to those around us, say, in traffic? Or now that every other grocery store is shut down at Vons at any time during the night or day? Do others have mercy for us when we aren't at the top of our game and maybe we're having a bad day or week or time in our lives? But Mary brings up God's promise. God's promise to Abraham and descendants forever. And we like to think of the Old Testament God as the vengeful God. But yet, God always seems to find a place to be merciful after the vengeance. He sent the flood and then said to Noah, "Okay, I promise that won't happen again, and here's a rainbow to remind you." God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them. And after Jonah got a little bit distracted by the whale, the fish, the whatever you want to call him, he got to the people of Nineveh, and they listened and repented, and God had mercy on them. And even in the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "For know that I have plans for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God errs on the side of mercy. And Mary is a witness to God's mercy because Mary was just an everyday girl living in a small town whose family had no status, no riches, no education. She was just waiting to get married and to bear children, and yet God showed his mercy to her to be the bearer of the Son of God. And Advent holds so many things, but the witness of Mary reminds us one of those most important themes that we often forget is mercy. Mercy is kind or forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly, according to Merriam-Webster. Mercy is kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad or desperate situation. Advent is a time for us to pause, to consider God's mercy, because she was aware, Mary was aware of God's mercy, having been lifted up from the lowliest to a place of reverence, because you see, she could have been dismissed from her community, distrusted, disbelieved, doubted. She could have been silenced and separated, not worthy of God's love or anyone else's. Certainly not one to testify to God's love to the least in the world. And yet she was chosen and became a great witness of God's mercy because she lived it. She lived how much God's mercy matters and what a difference it can make in our lives. In Mary's case, it went from being lowly to being seen for the first time. It went from being no one to being regarded for her saying yes. She was cared for, she was called, and she was lifted up so that all lowly will know that is God's promise to us all. But I'd say we as a people, myself included, struggle with mercy. We're really good at coming up with reasons why we have just cause not to be merciful. We have reasons for rejecting someone else. We have reasons for holding our prejudice, especially when we know that we have evidence that justifies our hate. We're good at that. We argue about things. We argue about arguing about things because we lack mercy. And my question is, are we able to show mercy? And I don't mean to be Pollyanna. Maybe it's a bit more Mary-Anna. Come on, that was bad. I worked hard on that. But what if our starting point, when we feel our hearts begin to harden in the need to justify our point of view, what if our starting point were mercy? Mercy that could change world views. What would happen if we sang Mary's song of mercy instead of engaging in indifference and intolerance? Exactly what Mary would have faced for being pregnant. What if we sing Mary's song so that we can find common humanity instead of words of hate and fear, because we all have those words? What if we sang Mary's song instead of feeling it's better to just keep our mouths shut and not speak up or speak out or speak against and just put our heads down and move along? Mary's song makes our world a different place, a better place, a place where we have the possibility to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God right here. And so I can see starting with mercy in my own life. I can see trying to take the time to be aware of God's mercy to me and letting that mercy flow out to others. I can see reminding myself when I'm caught in the Midtown traffic, forget the freeways, have you just tried to get to Torrance and back? It's killer. Having a little mercy. Having mercy for the person in the checkout line because apparently people still use checks. So having mercy on that, because you want to know what? That is some people's reality, and that's okay. I can be merciful about that. But let's be easy. Those are cheap shots, right? That's easy. Well, I'll just be merciful. I'll just sit here. But we have bigger issues in our world. Way bigger issues where we are called to be merciful and we don't know how. Given the events of San Bernardino and Paris, oddly both close to me for different reasons, how can I be merciful to ISIS or to any other of those radicalized groups out there, those that make the name of my Muslim brothers and sisters tarnished? Are we supposed to show mercy to them? Because I think if I met someone from ISIS and was merciful, I would likely not be standing here the following Sunday. But last week in Cincinnati, a friend of mine who was staying at the local convent came upon a prayer and shared it with us this week, and it struck me. It struck me as the heart of mercy. Now, let me be clear. Mercy does not condone abhorrent or evil action. Let me say that one more time. Mercy does not condone abhorrent or evil action. That's right, Connor. You tell him. But mercy helps us pray to God to bring about their humanity and ours. So here's the prayer. May the light of our transfigured Lord shine on the members of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, the Taliban, and all other groups throughout the world who are bringing suffering, destruction, and death to innocent people and luring young people to join them. May the love of God surround them, and we pray for their hearts and minds to change and their lives to enter into the way of peace. Amen. That is how we engage in mercy. It's not a solution, but a place to start. And the thought that there may be a solution may seem impossible to us, but Gabriel, see, this is why I had to tell you the pre-story. Gabriel, in talking to Mary, when they're having this discussion about Mary bearing the God child, Gabriel says, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. And so the place where each and every one of us can start is to pray for mercy. Pray for being merciful to everyone, not to condone, but it is better than staying silent in frustration and anger and letting that turn to hate. So this week, in these very last few moments of Advent, I invite you to pray for mercy, and that in turn, God will be merciful to us. Amen.